Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We have missed a week.
I know.
I was traveling. June 12th is today's date. And it's funny because not that much outside of Europe actually took place. It was like, this is all what's going on.
It's all about Europe. I mean, yes, we had the guy that ate the guy's face in Miami. Okay, fine.
Yeah, but that's not a stock market thing.
No. You know, but there was some things here and there, but the unbelievable concentration of news is all about Europe. It's nonstop. It's really obnoxious.
Now I hear that the Spanish thing fell apart already.
Yeah, that was bad to begin with. As a matter of fact, when it came out on Saturday, the first thing I thought was, boy, how stupid for them to do it on a Saturday. If they want to, you know, do a real ramp up for the markets and all that and catch everybody off guard, even though a lot of people thought it was going to happen, do it on a Sunday afternoon. This way nobody has time to think about it. And what happened was that the $125 billion that they were going to put into the banks, first of all, was very poorly planned because first they come out with one statement that the ESM and the EFSF are going to do it. Well, the ESM can't do it because that's strictly prohibited by policy, and that's not ratified either, and Germany's not in yet, even though they say they're going to do it. So you can't directly go to the banks. So you'd have to go through the thing called the FROB, which is the financial blah da blah 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 that goes indirectly to the banks. It goes to the sovereign, to the banks. Then the ESFS is going to do it. Well, the problem with that is it's going to add another $125 billion of debt to Spain itself. They can't handle that. And then finally, the other problem is that it's going to create a subordination problem for all the other bondholders out there because they were going to come first. And now all those other bondholders out there are going to be behind them. So it comes out. Everybody's all excited for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And then the crap hits the fan.
Hmm.
And you're seeing still a tremendous amount of outflows from Spain and from Greece. The banks, there's clearly a bank run going on. There's talk about locking down the ATMs. How scary is that?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, they're going to lock. Talk about, you know, what to do if they're going to lock down the ATMs. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that maybe it's not a good idea to tell people you may be locking down the ATMs.
Oh, yeah. No, I would be in the car as soon as I heard that.
Yeah, what's the first thing you do?
Go to the ATM and get what you can.
Right. You know? So you go take out all your money because you don't want that to happen. So the big deal is, you know, Spain is clearly a problem. Their yield on the 10-year hit a record high today, even after the potential for this bailout. And don't forget, this, you know, Germany really doesn't want this to happen. So there's a lot of talk going on by people, but no action. A lot of blathering. And then the Greece situation is coming to a head this weekend. It's going to be pretty exciting Father's Day.
Yeah.
Because the vote after the last vote that didn't seem to – nobody won is going to happen again. And we're right now in a kind of a blackout period where there's not allowed to be any polls. 2 weeks before the elections in Greece, they don't allow polls to be issued. So there's one side that's basically the anti-bailout side that's going against the – pro-bailout side. And what that means is the pro-bailout side is essentially saying, okay, we'll go along with what's, you know, the austerity measures. We're taking the money. We'll get our act together. We'll follow along and kowtow to the whole European deal. And the other guy is, he's pronounced the Syrizen, they're like, hey, you know what? Thanks for the $400 billion, but you guys are really screwing us. We're not paying you back, and I don't care if we leave the euro. And right now it's neck and neck. So there's a lot of concern that what happens if the anti-bailout coalition wins. Now, the bigger problem is that this whole situation in Spain, you got to circle back now. So the deal in Spain that was also announced had no conditions. In other words, they were going to give the money to Spain with no conditions that they have to do anything of an economic nature to rein in their budgets or create any kind of growth or austerity, nothing. So meanwhile, Ireland, Greece, Portugal, and who was the other one? Was there one more? They all got bailed out, but they had major austerity that they had to go by. Because by the contract of where they get the money from the EFSF or the ESM, it has to be come along with stipulations that in order to pay it back, they have to do certain things. But the deal that they cut Spain was a very favorable interest rate with no conditions. So now Ireland's like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You're giving $125 billion to Spain with no conditions? We want to renegotiate our package. Now, Greece is going to want to renegotiate at the very least, and it's obviously going to piss off the people that they've had to go through such a horrible time of austerity, unemployment, pullbacks, job cuts. And, of course, France did what they could to really piss everybody off. They moved the retirement age down from 65 to 60.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of all this. So there's a lot of really very strange moving parts going on. So the problem is you can't really believe what's coming out of Europe. Already today they floated something that they're going to have the ECB wants a basically backing of deposits on a Euro-wide basis. Germany's like, well, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. So there's a lot of talk coming out. It's almost like I think we framed it well last week when we put the title of the podcast. It's the central bank that cried wolf. You just can't believe him anymore.
And meanwhile, the Dow goes up.
Yes. Well, it went down. Actually, on Monday, after the announcement of the bailout, so Sunday night the futures open. By late Sunday night, they're up 20. That's what? That's 1.5% for the S&P. Asia markets do well. At the end of the day Monday, the futures were down 20 at the close. It's a 40-point swing. It's like 3.5% almost. 3.2% swing from the Sunday night opening at 6 to the closing Monday afternoon at 4. One of the widest swings that we've seen in years. And then today, you know, this floating the idea of maybe some more stimulus and this other crap, so all of a sudden everything is happy, happy. It's a very strange market condition. We're in a zone that it can go up and down 1% in any day until it breaks out of the zone. 1325 on the S&P is important. Then you get a little bit higher will be the resistance level. And then on the downside, 1295 on the S&P. So, you know, you're going to bounce in between there, and it's going to feel like very uncomfortable.
Does anybody, from your perspective, think we're not going to have a QE3? What do you think?
It's interesting. You know, the QE3, the question is going to be how much benefit is there? I mean, then again, you may say, who cares? But with interest rates as low as they've been, almost at record lows right now, the whole idea of quantitative easing was to bring down the cost of lending, or borrowing, I should say. Not only for the United States, but for individuals. So that doesn't help anything. The only thing it does is it really drops the value of the dollar, which then spikes inflation, commodity prices, the wealth effect. It does nothing for jobs. We can prove that pretty well. So I don't really know the notional benefit. Compare the QE1. Okay, I got that. You know, flushing that in. QE2. Okay, Operation Twist. Not much. QE3. I don't see the. You know, at these levels, how we're going to really benefit. And I don't think the Fed's going to do it right away if the economy's not in a recession or at least getting really, really close. And if the stock market, you know, at these levels, it seems a little bit absurd for them to go that far. I think they're going to let it, you know, there's other important factors that have to be dealt with.
Swing in the wind.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the fiscal cliff that we're coming upon at the end of the year, what do you think about that? Don't you think that they're going to have to keep their powder dry for some of this if the politicians can't get their act together?
Yeah, the cliff.
What's going to happen? Right now, you know.
Apparently we're going to go over the cliff because these guys are arguing about it. But it's going to be after the election. So I think they're going to just take it to. Once the election settles things, then they'll fix the problem that we're confronted by.
It's going to be too late by then.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
No.
What do you mean? We're all going to sit on the edge of our seats until after November, and 1 month later, they're going to have the potential to either extend or not, and I don't see how this goes. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, you've seen this before.
Yeah, we've seen it before, but the problem is that even if the uncertainty that it brings right now of whether it's going to happen stalls the economy. People won't make a decision. Employers won't hire as much.
They're not hiring anyway.
Well, okay, but they'll be postponing decisions. I mean, is this all? So you're saying to me is they're afraid to make a move right now because it may be politically detrimental to either side.
Yeah.
And Obama doesn't want to do it because then he'll break his promise. But even if he gets back in, you're saying somehow they'll extend it, or are they just going to extend partial? They're going to allow the middle class tax cuts to go ahead and be extended, but yet the I don't know. We couldn't have done this a year ago. I know I'm thinking ridiculously here, but why do we have to constantly wait till the last second for everything?
It's just the way it's being done. I don't. We don't have to.
I mean, we got to vote these bums out. Not that we have to.
Well, that's what I've been saying, but you know,
who comes in? But and then we have Michael Bloomberg outlawing large size sugary drinks in New York, or at least proposing that.
Yeah.
What is that about?
The guy's an idiot.
Oh, I like him a lot, but that was a bonehead.
How would you like him a lot? Why? Blustery. He's full of crap. He bought his job. Why? Why did he do that? I don't know. I don't see him being a benefit to the city or anybody else. He's a blowhard.
Well, maybe. I've seen. I don't know. From what I've seen, he's done an okay job in New York.
I can't say one way or the other. I mean, I haven't noticed that in New York's improved much. Mm. So I think they're bankrupt.
Really?
Well, maybe. I don't know. That's my impression. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you.
I'm not a big fan of him. That's all I can say.
That I think, though, that this was really a wacky move. This out, you know, trying.
Well, he
was
also the guy against salt. Oh, we got it. The restaurants can't serve salt anymore. You can't salt the food. It's too much salt. It's killing us.
In a move to combat all this, Burger King has a solution to really piss them off. They're coming out with a new bacon shake or a bacon sundae. I think a bacon sundae. Seriously. This is serious. Wait, hold on a second. Let me find this note on this.
Yeah, because there's not enough fat in ice cream already.
Sundae is part of the new menu item for the summer. What? Do you ever hear that before? Bacon sundae?
No, it sounds like something you might find in the deep south, but no, never heard. No.
Burger King's coming out with a bacon sundae.
Next thing on the menu, deep fat fried butter.
I heard that's good.
You heard it's good. It sounds horrible. The deep fat fried Snickers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, lots of things happening in Europe. There's some other things we could talk about, speaking about things going down. Have you and I, we have our little things that we talk about from time to time that our listeners love to, you know, to hear us talk about. One of them is our absolute astonishment at how the mattress companies were doing so well.
This right? was another one of your finds, yes. You were the one, it's like you and the feet on the airport.
Don't bring that up. I tried to forget this. It's a nightmare.
And you've somehow come up with this one. Now, this is up there with your Crocs calls. I have to give you 10 points on this. I mean, I was listening. I don't know why I didn't take action because the logic is all over the place. It's quite good.
You see that chart?
Yeah.
That is a horrendous chart. So this is Tempur-Pedic we're looking at. TPX is a symbol. And they came out with a profit warning last week, and the stock cratered by 48% in one day after it already cratered, like a few weeks back. And that sent the other companies down, the Select Comfort and the Mattress Firm Holdings. They all got just obliterated.
It's amazing. Could have made a killing on this thing. $85 down to what?
I think it's 23.
$23.87 from in what? How long is this? Like a month? 2 months?
Like, yeah, a few months. Yep.
It's like it's ludicrous. This is like the short sale of the year. That it's annoying, and I'm sure that they had plenty of calls or puts you could have bought that would have just been dynamite.
What would have been great on this?
Oh,
it was tough though. This
and you brought it up like months ago. Months ago, you were talking about, oh, what's wrong with this stock? It's idiotic. People don't sleep that much. You know, you mentioned it when it was floating around 70, going to 85. Jeez, you could have put a put at 62 down to 40 and you would have made a killing for like 10 cents a share. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it would have been a GP2 you would have bought. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that you need to. First of all, listen. There's trading. There's conviction. There's long-term investing. There's different ways to play things. But one of the things it does teach you is that, you know, stocks can shake you out. So you think that, hey, the stock is way overpriced for 100 different reasons at 50. Well, it goes to 60. It goes to 70. What do you do at that point? You know, maybe you didn't hold on to it that long.
No, there's a problem with this stock in particular, because we see some of the where it was priced around 55, around the middle of January, $55, and it was overpriced then, obviously. And you could have shorted it then, and you're going to watch it go up and up and up. And there's a jump right there and somewhere near the end of January, and then it keeps going. And now it's creeping up very slowly. It's dangerous. And it gets up to what, 85, 86?
Right. So already you're out, you know, 40% of your money.
Yeah, you're screwed.
You would have been out way
before
that.
So you were probably covered before there.
Right. And you would have covered before. Right.
Yeah. So you don't know when to do this. But it's just like in hindsight, you look at it and you go, oh, you know, it's the same thing with Apple. I mean, but the numbers are good with Apple, so you can't really do anything with Apple. I mean, if it goes to $800 and then they come up with an iPhone 5 that's a piece of crap, or their stores blow up, or who knows. I don't know how you're going to – where that's going to turn around. I think you can, though, and tell me I'm wrong. You just ignore it. Say, look, I don't know. Maybe it's going to go to 1,000. Who knows what this TPX is going to do. But when it took that dive from like 85 and just – nosedive down to like 70, just with a falling knife.
Yeah.
You had a lot of opportunities there to buy that seems to me to be okay. I'm gonna splurge and buy a put at 35.
Right. And you may not have even done that. You may want to just gone, you know, 10 points lower or 15 points lower. It's still a bit of cheap put. But here's the thing, exactly what you said. That if you have a belief in something, first of all, realize that your belief and your calculation and your assessment may be totally wrong. So don't be stupid and hold on to it forever. So what you do is you get blown out. But then if all of a sudden, you know, keep it on a watch list, keep it somewhere that you can do something with it. And then what you could do is you can, you know, kind of look back on it. If it starts to crack, you could go into it again. And okay, if you lose money again, fine. So you're blown out of it. And this is short or long, either side. But then again, you know, there's nothing wrong with going back to a stock and then trying it again. Either side, you know, either long or short. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, what they do is, you know, they go into a stock and they get blown out of it one way or the other, and then they don't go near it again. Oh, that stock is bad for me. It doesn't know who you are.
Right. The problem, you know, it doesn't know who you are. But the other thing is you get a little gun shy, or you think the stock is jinxed.
Yeah.
But the thing you always have to know, it seems to me, is that you're now very familiar with that stock. And you know the more you get blown out or screwed by it, except for that situation with that guy, that famous short seller that got screwed by Netflix. But essentially, you get a feeling for it at some point. Say, well, you know, I'll short it again, and then you take a shot. But if you're talking about these stocks that are extremely overpriced and they make no sense being sky high, the downside potential is you lose, but when you win with this particular stock, if you had shorted it at 70 when it took the falling knife, and now it's at 23, you would have made a killing that would have way more than made up for the bungling that you did earlier.
Right. Or like you said, by could have put a put in it, a long term put.
A long term put's another good way
to go. Way out of the money.
Long term puts aren't cheap, but in a situation like this, it's ridiculous. Anyway.
Actually,
but you spot these things commonly, and it's always amazing to me, and it's just like, I don't know. Next time I'm taking action.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stock, for example, that we're short now called Buffalo Wild Wings. One of the things that's interesting, we got blown out of it once, okay? So they came out with earnings. BWLD. So we got blown out of Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, not a big loss, but, you know, enough to be like, you know what? The stock is still not breaking down, so we'll kind of wait for it to break down.
Why are you down on these guys?
Well, because chicken prices are up. It's a good company. I don't really have anything bad to say. They're not terrible or anything like that. And it's not – I don't foresee it doing anything horrible. If we see an economic slowdown, if chicken prices continue to stay high, like they said, and they even said that their pricing is going to be affected next period. Stock was down a little bit, but then it came right back up. The stock is in a technical breakdown pattern. Again, that may change, but right now it is. So, you know, everything that you want to see. Again, it's a decent company. It seems a little bit pricey for what it is. And it's also going to have a margin squeeze. So right now, nobody believes that they're going to see this margin squeeze. It's obviously what's happening, even though the company told us this in their last conference call. So
chicken prices are going up?
Their chicken prices, their margins were squeezed, yeah.
Huh.
They could try to raise the menu price, but we'll see about that.
Well, their PE is 28. The PEG is $1.38. Now, what is the quick ratio?
That's the it's a balance sheet ratio about the short term liabilities and assets.
Okay.
So that will give you how much how liquid they are comparatively.
2,400 people work for them.
Yeah, most of them are obviously, restaurant people, waiters, waitresses,
yeah,
bartenders.
Huh.
Another one, for example, that we're short. I mean, we went. You asked me about last week. What the hell is Titan Machinery? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
So earnings.
What's the ticker on that?
We were short that, and you're like, "What? Why are you getting obscure?" TITN.
TITN.
And we went short 2 weeks ago in the show.
What'd you short it at?
About 20% higher than it is now.
Hmm.
See that drop off?
Yeah. It's a good short, one. It's a whopper.
We short it right before that. That was due to the fact that we were concerned about the farm machinery and the amount of replacement, and we saw a lot of slowdown in the whole machinery area. And this was also in a technical breakdown pattern. Then they come out with earnings, and the crap really hit the fan. So. Got to keep your eye out for these things. I mean, you'll see reversals. You'll see, today Michael Kors came out with earnings. They were up 10%. Midway through the day, they're only up like 2%. Then all of a sudden, they shoot up back up 7% at the end of the day. You got to kind of keep your eye on, why these are happening. And, everybody will find things out there. Anyway, let's see here. Now, did you participate in any way or did you do any research or on this whole MacBook Pro line and the...
I wrote a real kind of a negative column today in PC Magazine condemning everyone for thinking that there's anything even remotely interesting at the Worldwide Developers Conference. I thought the thing was boring. I thought all these upgrades are just upgrades, so what? And I didn't think much of it.
I mean, definitely.
I don't think it's hurting. I don't think Apple, again. I mean, I've been keeping an eye on Apple, and I don't see any end-of-the-road scenarios. In fact, maybe just the opposite. There's some people pushing it for $800, and I think a lot of people ignore the fact that the fractal we're talking about here is when Steve Jobs quit the company the first time, Scully was running it, and he actually, I think sales doubled or tripled. They went way up with Scully running it. It was much improved, and I think that's going to happen again. And then, they got Scully to quit, and they put Spindler, the German guy, in. And I see the guy waiting in the wings as Schiller. So I'm seeing so until Cook gets kicked out, or unless he screws up, which I don't foresee, I got nothing bad to think about Apple. I think it's just going to.
I mean, the new MacBook line, I thought was kind of exciting. If you were into that, it's an expensive piece. The new processor, the memory, the solid-state drive, no optical disc, okay. No 17 inches in the lineup anymore. The speed, the whole both USB 3 and FireWire as well. I think it was FireWire, Thunderbolt. The new Retinal display, that was all very, a nice upgrade. Like you said, it's a nice upgrade. And the, Mountain Lion was interesting. It's integrating more of the iOS, it looks like. iOS 6, looks okay, interesting. I don't see anything smashing there. But in a way, I'm not trying to be too much of a fanboy here, but as it is right now at the moment, at this moment in time, it's as close to everything that we want, I think, from a machine that you can get. And from at this moment in time, and from a phone, and from a smartphone, that is, and from an OS in that, and the integration. I mean, I think it's kind of right there. Until something majorly changes somehow, that's a major game changer. They're just kind of improving close to perfection.
Yeah, which is not exciting.
Right, I understand.
They do have the Siri now speaks Chinese.
That's good.
So, yeah, so I figure that now they'll be getting some, you know, Chinese can now ask for driving instructions, and Siri will say, okay, slow down really slow, and take a left-hand turn from the right-hand lane, and just kind of roam in and out of your lane a little bit, and there's some material there. I'm working on
it. Yeah, I think it needs a little polish. He's a little polished. But they've also got rid of Google Maps, or, you know, they get rid of that whole thing. They have their own mapping program, which I don't know. You know,
that's not going to be as good.
And they have turn by turn.
There's nothing as good as the Google Navigator. The problem is, of course, Google screwed them. We wouldn't give them the turn by turn.
Right.
So they, you know, they had to do something, so they didn't really have a choice.
We'll see how it is. I mean, I use it, but we'll see. The Siri's kind of interesting. We're actually short on Nuance, which is the Dragon naturally speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but very lightly short on Nuance. Let's see what else we got here. But do you think the pricing is going to be an impediment at all? It hasn't been so far with these MacBooks.
No.
Okay.
There are a lot of people that, you know, if they're spending their own money, they tend to say, "Ah, screw this." I mean, we can get an Ultrabook for like half the price.
I mean, I use a MacBook. I use a MacBook Pro, the 15 inch. I use it as a Windows machine, and I'm using it right now. And I use it for both Windows, which works brilliantly on it, Windows 7. And I use it for, you know, for a few things on the Mac side of things. But it's probably the best Windows machine I have.
Mm.
You know, for a Mac, laptop, that is. All right, gold is moving higher. Looks like there's a grab going on for an alternative currency right now. I mean, you know, who wants to be in these currencies? So it dropped pretty hard last week. It looked like there was some forced selling going on. You know that guy Paulson, who made all that killing in shorting the housing market back when, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
You know, last year he was down something obnoxious. I mean, obnoxiously down. His funds really got just obliterated. This year he's making a comeback. You know, he sold off a lot of things at the wrong time.
How do you even find out what he's up to? Where is his newsletter?
He doesn't have a newsletter. He runs a multi-billion dollar hedge funds.
Oh.
And what happens
is
he sends
out... How do you find out about it? You have to be a piece of it?
Well, you're a piece of it. And then what they do is they sneak the letters out and the performance letters come out. Mm-hmm. So we read those. I mean, I read Einhorn's last week. Paulson came out recently with his piece. You know, he's down 13-14% this year again. Hmm. After being down 50% last year. And changing up his portfolio, you know, he's huge positions in banks, but yet he has a lot of gold-based. He's just not doing the thing. But point is that a lot of gold out there. We actually picked up some gold stocks. I don't remember ever buying gold stocks before. You know, stocks of companies of the miners. And they just looked so appetizing. Royal Gold, Newmont Mining.
Good old Newmont.
Yeah, it's been doing very well. And they paid a dividend. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. I think it's worth watching gold. And for anybody out there who is either loves gold, hates gold, or has no feeling of gold either way, first of all, for the gold bugs that love gold, don't take this as like, oh, my God, they're all loving gold. I don't love gold. I like it right now. I think it's interesting that, you know, right now this seems to be a little bit of a push-up going, even with the dollar as high as it is for gold. And I think that's, you know, I think gold is finally reacting to economic woes and concerns rather than just the dollar move. So anyway.
Yes, that would be more normal.
Yeah, exactly. Have you looked at Zynga lately?
Yes, it's just headed south. I don't know. It's going to be a 50-cent stock. That's what I'm thinking.
How? I mean, with all the revenue they have and the big... how does that work? I don't understand. Seriously.
People don't like the stock for some reason. I mean, it's just been going down like a champ. What is the... I'm looking at it. The price earnings 13 isn't that bad. The seems reasonable, but I don't. You know, I think people question whether they can. I don't know what the deal is with this.
I think they question the whole model of selling sheep virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does that last? Is that going to be a fad? Obviously. I mean, you know.
Now, what game company has ever really been public and that has done well for the long haul? They always fail at some point because it's easy to copy these models.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then well, you just need some maybe good they coders.
Would, yeah. You know, it was a great thing when it first came out. It's like anything else. It's like these you know, you have a new thing like Facebook, and then everybody attracts, oh, they have this new game or something like that, and it becomes just, you know, and then everybody sinks into their routine of using it as a communication device and a hookup device versus the peripheral stuff, you know? A bit fatty, but it's an all-time low.
Yeah, yeah. 52-week range is 5.5 to 1591. Now it's down to 498. Terrible.
Ugly.
Well, it's probably going to go down to, let's see, if it's price earnings.
Who knows where it goes down at this point. I mean, it seems like, it got stung the last few weeks.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to keep going down until it gets to about about $2, $1.50.
Who knows? Yeah, we'll see. There was a report that came out, I think this was pretty shocking, that during the years of 2007 to 2010, the median U.S. household lost 39% of its wealth.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I lost about that.
Back to the 1990s.
92, to be specific.
Wow. I mean, that's, you know, you're combining stock market issues.
Yeah, real estate, saving. Everything. If the real estate market wasn't in the tank, this would not. That's really what the number reflects. I think more than anything else, everyone's home is down. You know, 40%, or especially in the areas where it was skyrocketing.
That's just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah. Buy on bad news.
Yeah. So what do we buy? We buy
real estate.
Okay. Real estate. You know, there's bidding wars going on here in Florida.
San Francisco's all jacked up because of the Facebook IPO.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything, the rents are way up, the property values are way up. It's just out of control. So it means that'll carry over to where I am. Should be able to prop up everything.
Well, that'll be good. There's definitely, you know, down here we have a lot of Latin America people come in to buy things, and, you know, with the currency that has been kind of down, the U.S. dollar, I mean, the condos and the foreclosures are being snapped up pretty fast. And like I said, I heard, you know, people are taking are making offers at listing price and being put off.
Huh.
Like the good old days again, remember?
That's the good old days.
Yeah.
Where people would come in and they'd, I'm selling my place for $400,000. I'll give you $500,000. What?
Amazing. I bought a house a number of years ago, a vacation home. I bid $5,000 under.
This is the place where you go outside without a net.
Huh?
Is that the place that has no netting? Because in Florida, there's bugs.
I don't have netting at my house or there, no. And I live on it's on a lake.
Yeah, that's. So, I don't know how you do it.
I don't. It's. I don't get. I mean, you put some of that DEET on. Yeah, I hate the nets. Then you can't see outside. It obscures the whole beautiful sky, and you know it feels very constraining.
I don't know. I've been to some places. They have their huge backyard, huge, and the whole thing is it's like some sort of a really fine screen, and
right.
It's all over the whole thing is covered, and it seems nice. I like it. You still get the fresh air, and there's no bugs all over the place.
I don't have bugs. I just don't. I mean, yeah, listen, every once in a while I get bugs. I get, you know what I got lately? In the back, we have these centipedes. What's up with the centipedes?
I don't know. We do
just
not.
Like the swarming.
Swarming?
It's very odd. Then they just curl
where
up
are
and
the,
die in
it. Where are the birds?
I don't know. We have those turkey vultures down here. They're really obnoxious.
We have them here, too.
Oh, somebody's got to do something about those. They're ugly and
they're totally
birds.
Ugly.
I mean, really.
The worst looking bird in the world.
You got the worst looking bird, which is a turkey to begin with, mixed with a vulture, which is just not a good combo. It's kind of like what if Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson got together, what their child would look like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a horrible looking product.
Yeah. All right, now, I want to talk about Syria for a second because there's some weirdness going on, right? So there's this big crisis in Syria. And, you know, there was some report that came back that reporters were there, and maybe UN, and there was this horrible stench of burnt flesh in the air and horrible just images that we got. We know all about these killings and murders, and it's horrible, horrible, right? So now, we're saying, okay, well, now Russia, we're saying that Russia is sending attack helicopters to the regime. Now, I'm thinking at first, interesting. They're sending attack helicopters. Now, I was thinking at first when I read it, well, that's good. Maybe they'll, you know, kind of break this all up and they'll kind of slow it down, stop it. And but no. Hillary Clinton says they're accusing Russia of supplying attack helicopters to the Syrian government.
Yeah.
I mean, is Russia that nutso?
Russia believes that this whole thing is a scam.
What thing? The whole Syria thing?
Yeah, the whole Syria thing. There's no independent reports coming out of there. They've got it. They just think the whole thing is a scam of some sort. It's not. There's this revolution is just a bunch of outsiders that have come in and stirred things up, and they're the ones killing everyone. That's what they think.
Well, maybe they're right.
They could be. That's the problem. We don't know because nobody actually sends reporters in. They, you know, they used to do stuff like that, but now they're afraid, so they don't go in.
Yeah, what happened to the reporters that would put their life on the line and get the story? And
they make too much money now, so it's forget it. I'm not going to do that.
Well, speaking about reporters and all that, I've decided something. I have an admission. I have something I want you to know. As of tonight, I am not going to read. Let me glance, but I'm not reading Barron's anymore.
You've been going on about this for a while.
I've decided. I just can't take the. It's becoming. You know, it used to be this great newspaper, the go-to place for financial wisdom, new ideas.
I used to write for them.
And then see, it's probably after you left. And then
it's
become a rag. It's become an absolute rag. Well, and they're just bullish banana heads.
It's the bullishness that's bothering you.
No, that's just one thing. It's just they're bullish, but yet it's the same articles all the time. Same content all the time, same go-to guys all the time. There's nothing fresh in there anymore. And all they do is give you this Barron's, the opportunity for, you know, XYZ company has the opportunity to go up 25% over the next year. But what theory? Where is that coming from? You know, it's just the same stuff over and over. Hmm. I don't like it.
I can tell. All right. Well, I don't even read it anymore.
I'm not reading anymore. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's Wall Street Journal, Barron's, MarketWatch. It's all the same company.
Yeah.
So they have the same news that crosses.
Really. I mean, it's pretty independent. I work for MarketWatch, and the influence of the other guys, even though they had a big meeting once, but for the most part, it's like pretty independent.
Now, let me ask you something. Since I know that you wrote, I don't remember. Did you write something about Microsoft? Yeah, you wrote about Microsoft Windows 8 recently.
Yeah.
Apple can continually come out with upgrades to their iOS, brand new computers that are made in China that have, you know, a retinal display and all that. They can continually, you know, come out with the Mountain Lion's coming out, and somehow Microsoft can't get Windows 8 out. What are they waiting for? Are they worried that it's going to be another Windows ME? Remember that thing? Oh boy.
Yeah, well, I think it is going to be another Windows ME.
Was that the worst product ever?
You know, I had a machine with it running. I didn't notice it was any different than I didn't have a problem with Windows ME. And I really don't have a big problem with Vista. I mean, it's not, you know, as good as it could be, but I think there's a Star Trek effect where every other operating system Microsoft does is a dog, and I think 8 is the dog.
I think 7.
I don't like that Metro thing at all.
Yeah, I know. You wrote about that you, every time it takes you into a snake pit. Every time you go in one place, it's like a lobster trap or something, where you go and then you go out and you're back into the
Metro. Yeah, it's all full screen. So I like the. I'm at the point where all my monitors are 27 inch,
right?
And they're big, you know, 1920 by 1080. I don't need. I click on an app. I don't need it taking over the whole screen. I have one machine with two of these things on it, and I don't want this thing blowing out the whole screen, and I can't make it into a small window and put it over in the corner.
That seems something's wrong with that. There must be a setting.
Not with a lot of these Metro apps. They go full screen on you, and that's that. There's no little things in the corner, and there's even actually you have to figure out how to get out of them. And and the trick is, of course, you take your cursor and you shove it down in the lower left hand corner, and you pound it down in there, and a little box comes up, a really little box that says start. There's nothing hooked to it, and you just click on that, and it blows you back into the start. Menu, and then you can click on the Windows.
What about that little Windows key?
You know, the machine I was playing with, which I have with running on, and I have a Windows key, and it didn't do anything. So I don't know. Maybe it wasn't hooked up to the keyboard correctly.
I think that Windows 7 is great.
It is very good. I agree.
program. But we'll see what happens. It just seems like, you know, they should be able to get this thing out already, and it's whatever. I don't really care. I'd love to stay with Windows 7 if I had to forever.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like XP. People are going to stick with it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, but what do you think is the worst? What was the worst Microsoft product OS? You don't think it was ME? Wasn't there something else, some other bizarre name one?
I think, well, there's a couple of them. Well, there's, yeah, they've had some issues now and again.
95,
I think 3.1 was pretty bad.
Well, that was it. That was the beginning.
Well, the beginning was Windows 1.
Yeah, but 3.1 was the first one. It really had a big overhaul, wasn't it?
I think 3.11 came up, which was really pretty decent. And then Windows 95 is when the good stuff started to happen, and it changed the whole business.
Right. And when they went from NT to server.
Windows 2000 was also a stunning product.
Yeah. I had that one for a while.
Yeah, it's still a good product to this day.
Yeah. Starbucks, I don't know if you... First of all, they put out an announcement that they're going to have some headwinds from higher coffee prices starting to affect pricing. Okay. They bought a bakery restaurant thing recently. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Now they're going to be able to offer some baked goods with their horrible coffee. That's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
They bought a bakery that... I think they were already buying their products from them, and they said, oh, hell with it. Let's just buy them.
So, yeah, everybody's all up in arms at what's this going to do for Panera. You know, this is going to be a big competition to Panera, which, by the way, people are going to think I'm, you know, totally down on everything, but that place stinks.
You've been on the Panera, anti-Panera band. What's the symbol?
P-N-R-A.
P-N-R-A. You've hated Panera since we started doing this show. Wow, stock has skyrocketed since you were bad-mouthing it.
I'm not saying anything about the stock. I'm talking about the place of the restaurant itself. I find it to be... I feel like I'm eating out of a can.
I've been to one once.
Did you like it?
No, I didn't. Yeah. But it was... At least I got some food in me.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, so Starbucks is... they came out with some things that wasn't so good. There was some... Their earnings were questionable. Stock started flashing some... You know, no longer bull trend. We'll see what happens with it, though. With the, I think I take a 2 cent hit with this bakery buy, and again, they're going to have something going on here. But this is one of those stocks everybody loves. You know, they wait in line for Starbucks. They love it. And if you like Starbucks,
it's tasteless, bland.
It's burnt. Tastes like burnt coffee.
There's that too.
It's just like over roasted and burnt. And then you got Dunkin' Donuts, which people love. I had one the other night. I'm like, what is this? This isn't coffee. Is it really coffee? It was so light.
Is it really a donut?
That's a good question. Yeah. Yep. All right. So now.
Let's look at U.S. Steel.
You want to look at U.S. Steel? I got a few stocks I can look at that are just. U.S. Steel actually did well today, but U.S. Steel has, you know, talk about the whole industry of steel and coal and materials. Boy, I mean, after China came out with their soft numbers. And you saw the economy slowing in Europe and in the United States. You know, you have the coal companies like ANF, PCX. Look at PCX. I think we looked at it last time. BTU, X. Try to give us a picture image of X, the stock chart.
Let me get back to it. Doggone it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's like a little roller coaster. It looks like it was going to ramp. And it's just halting. It's like the little train that could, you know, it keeps trying to do one thing and it just goes, and then it finally, sometime around May, just said, oh, the hell with it.
Right.
You can just see it, right? It's fighting and fighting and fighting, and then, oh, nuts.
Well,
and then it just slid, and it just keeps sliding. It looks like it's going to go back down to 10 or something. It's hard to say what the low end is going to be. But it's a shame. I mean, you know, what the price earnings, well, it's... 5, you know, which is, well, I guess there's not much business
going
on.
The problem is that China's slowing down. Clearly, steel prices are down, which is interesting because if you look at, like, automobiles, they're really producing a lot. Although I have something to say about that. China's automobile sales are up, I think, 23% year over year. They're doing a cash for clunkers. I think we talked about that.
Yep.
And what I think is really interesting is there's a secondary subtle report coming out. A lot of places are talking about first that they're shipping more and they're going to be putting more cars, and the demand for cars in China is great. China's reporting that their lots at the dealerships are overloaded, They're having to sell cars at huge discounts. They want the manufacturers to stop sending cars because they're losing money on this, and they're oversupplying to a point that there's a glut. So there's kind of two sides of the same story. You know,
yeah, one of them must be wrong.
One of them could be wrong, but you know what the car manufacturers are obviously doing is pushing it all there, taking their profit, and then just leaving it to the dealers to suck it up. So their manufacturing is up, and they're
filling the channel.
Right, exactly. Filling the channel, stuffing the channel, they say, right?
Yeah, stuffing the channel. Now it's backed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bad Mexican meal.
Yeah. I put a chart on, I attached a chart, if you saw that, of the Spanish yields. See that? The Spanish yields hit an all-time high today above the last September's number, which where the crisis was.
For some reason, I ended up closing this thing. Hold on a second. Let's see, we got mattress, Spanish charts. Oh, yeah, Spanish yields, JPEG. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. It could go higher.
We'll see. This is a breaking point. Over 6 is a real problem. It's at 670. And that's way too much for them to have to, you know, pay in the crisis point, which is interesting. Tomorrow is going to be interesting. You'll all be peeled to your TV watching the testimony of Jamie Dimon as he gets harangued by the politicians that are going to look to make him look stupid. In the background, though, the realization is that he's just going to apologize and try to get himself out of there, realizing that the risk they took is probably amounting to about a $5 billion loss for J.P. Morgan right now, and still not out of the trade from what all indications are. And the trade is being loss are being exacerbated because the other side of the trade is is smelling blood in the water and trying to blow the trade out on him. So right now, that's tomorrow. It's kind of weird that, you know, that Congress has, you know, stepped up to take this deal on. And we'll see how hardcore they're going to be with him. They'll ask questions like, did you know how much risk you were taking and what was the reason for the risk? What's the point of this whole thing anyway?
That's idiotic.
I mean, companies lose money. Listen, it was a big loss, it's a problem. Yes, they supported J.P. Morgan through the crisis. They shouldn't be taking on this risk. I got that. I'm with you on this. But at the same time,
well, the Democrats are going to be asking questions, trying to imply that there's not enough regulations. The Republicans are going to ask questions to imply that, you know, that the I don't know what the hell they're going to imply, actually. But I know it's going to be about, you know, the opposite. What should you have done if there were more regulations? Would it have been any different? No, it wouldn't have been any different. Oh, then we don't need any more regulations. I don't know. It's going to be it's a carnival. It's a zoo. It's ridiculous. It doesn't
totally
prove
ridiculous.
Anything.
You're going to get those real snide remarks from those, you know, the politicians that are going to be up there being all snippety.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are pretty funny.
They're trying to get the votes of the people, and you know how this is Wall Street against us, and you know, with the realization that nobody complained when they made huge money, when J.P. Morgan makes 30 days of successful trades in a row with no losses on their prop desk. You didn't bring him in front of Congress. But, why did you make so much money on, you know, what do you want? Now, it would be great if Jamie Dimon would get up there and say, why are you allowing us to have free money and a too big to fail? If we didn't have that, this would not be going on. You know?
Now, that would be something.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, why did you put this trade on? Well, let me tell you why. First of all, we realize that if we put on enormous trades, the opportunity for gain is really big. And the fact of the matter is, if we lose and really things get really bad, you guys are going to bail us out anyway.
Yeah. So what do you think? We're crazy? We have to. Only a nut wouldn't take all his free money and just plunge.
What would you do if you were in our place?
Yeah. So, in fact, it would be, if the shareholders had any say, they'd be irked that they didn't do it that way.
Right. Exactly. We have no risk. We have no, you know, what's the real, you know, what's the, Mr. Senator, what's the real risk here? You know, what are we talking about? So the taxpayers got to pick up another couple billion. What's the big deal? We spent hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars anyway. I mean, we're just talking about a little bit here to instill confidence in the public that the banking system is sound. You've already allowed us to do all sorts of changes in banking rules and things to make things look a lot better, bury our bad debt, buying our bad debt off our sheets. The government's buying all sorts of stuff, letting us to move things to make everything look better. So why are you trying to, you know, all of a sudden say that, hey, why are you taking on this risk? Oh, that'd be great. I'd love that.
Yeah. Well, dream on.
Happen, huh? I think he's going to be very apologetic, you know, and he's going to try to save face, take the blame, but yet not take the blame. And then at the same time, try to, you know, make it get the hell out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Not say too much that's going to get him into hot water.
Yeah, sounds right.
Want to take a look at some of our stocks?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yep. It's been an interesting and a good time for our stocks. We have all sorts of green going on. Any
green
of the things that we talk
good.
Good. The stocks that we talk about here is just for illustrative purposes only. It's a game that we play. We pick some ideas that may be working, may not be working. We go long, we go short, not real money. Although, clients of Horowitz a Company, Andrew Horowitz, and employees, or John Dvorak, may own stocks that we mentioned, and we do disclose that on the spreadsheet. You can get to there by going to DH Unplugged, clicking on the little button. It's a live Google spreadsheet of the gains, losses, etc. And if you do buy stocks, understand that this is not a recommendation to buy or sell any position.
This chart would look a lot, or our list would look a lot better if some of these 7 or some of these 10 percenters were taken off, which were supposed to happen. Facebook, you're kicked out.
All right, they get taken off about a week after we move them to a closed positions page.
Carbo Ceramics, done.
It's done. Done, yeah. Done.
Medical marijuana.
Finally got smoked. I mean, you took a
You've
shot.
You've been waiting for that joke all along.
I mean, at the bit for that one.
Yeah.
It hit three.
Stop at three. I should pick it up again.
I mean, how bad can it get? How much worse? Hey, you know what? How much worse can it get here? I don't know why that's. I don't know. That's, well, whatever. It was only at 7 cents when you got it. It's at 3 cents. What's the big deal? Monster Beverage had a great week, and it's just been. If you look at that chart, just grooving higher. Oil. I'm thinking about talking about possibly reversing.
This is oil. Oh, I don't know. You want to really?
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think it's just going to keep dropping until it gets to about 50.
Questcor Pharmaceuticals finally really broke out here, up 7%.
Yeah, that's what you were expecting.
Yep. Hewlett Packard just.
It's amazing. Yeah. This is going to be a. This has got to be a buy someday.
I mean, now it's at 21. I was shocked it went past 25 on the way down.
It's amazing.
Vivus is doing well, up 10.5%. Zag got hit a little bit yesterday and today because Apple came out with a new iPad cover. Ugly as hell. So, you know, usually get this with any announcement from Apple on something, and then Zag kind of does his thing again. Goldman Sachs actually hit 94. At 90, I think it was at 91.5 yesterday, the day before yesterday. I mean, it really got just absolutely obliterated. And we shorted this at 115, so it's up about 18.5%. J.P. Morgan, you're short that, and it's up 10%. Apple, you're short. It's up 5.5%. Chart Industries, we went short, is up about 5% today, but still up about 3.5% on it. Activision Blizzard just hanging in there. Facebook got stopped out. Pandora up 5.5%, got hurt today because I think the announcement that they're going to be including the Amazon streaming music service on the iPhone kind of took the wind out of its sails today. And your short Dell has done very well. Titan Machinery down from the 32 short zone, so we're up 16% there. So things are looking good. I'm not going to say any stocks right now. There's plenty on the list because who the hell knows what's going to happen this week?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go long on a stock.
Or?
Yeah, actually, I've looked at a couple of them here that I'm thinking about. I'm also looking at some of the Robert J. Small deep buy on Trans, I don't even know what this is, an aerospace company, Transdigm Group, TDG. This is when I want you to look at the chart and tell me what you think. This guy's been, he's a director. This guy's been buying $1 million, $2 million, $1 million, $5 million, $3 million. This is the value. And now he just bought $12 million of this stock.
Oh.
He's an insider. He's a director. He's buying like crazy.
Institutional owns most of this. This is aerospace, yeah. This is a good company, generally. I mean, you know, it's a good company.
I want to go long on this stock. Yeah. But I have another one. And I, of course, I'm only good when I short, but I'm going to go long on UAMY.
UAMY. United States Antimony Corporation?
Yeah.
What is that? Antimony? What's antimony mean?
It's a rare earth. It's one of those. It's a mineral. It's a very important mineral.
It's engaged in the production sale of antimony and zeolite products. It's antimony mills and metallurgical. 15. Okay. Company owns 3 plants. Patented mill sites. Oh, interesting. Okay. Company owns 100% stock equipment of a mine. So this, what is it? What's antimony in?
It's in all kinds of stuff. Look it up on the Book of Knowledge.
Worst website I have ever seen for a company.
What, the ant?
Look at the website. It's horrid.
But they're not a web company. They're an antimony company.
This is like somebody's child did this.
Probably.
Look this up. USantimony.com. This is... Tell me you don't agree with me.
Oh, I... Okay, hold on. Let me look at that. US Antimony. You're trying to change my mind. USantimony.com.
Change your mind. They do a good job saving money because they don't have a lot of expenses.
Oh, this looks like... It looks like a precious metals site, you know, selling you gold. Yeah, they're in Thompson Falls, Montana, on 47 Cox Gulch Road. Yeah, it's a pretty...
It's the worst site I've ever seen.
It's not the worst site you've ever seen.
It's really horrid.
It's a bad site. It's like done by a psycho. But
this is one step above a MySpace site. Okay.
It's not. Yeah. Well, it could be better. I've actually done sites that look as bad as this.
I mean, the letters and the backdrop are all pixelated. For God's sake, it's horrible. They have a little button that says printer friendly. I wish they had one that said web friendly.
Printer friendly. Let's see what that looks like. It's the same thing. did you click on it?
It opens it. No. It opens up a Word document.
Oh, it does. That's right. Oh, it does. It opens up. Oh, let's see what that is.
7 format. Oh, that's scary.
That's hilarious. I've never seen anyone do this.
That's bad.
I'm in.
Yeah, and if anybody would like to donate their services, by the way, to U.S. United States Antimony Corporation, I think they could use a web designer.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Symbol again?
U-A-M-Y. U-A-M-Y.
All right, going long due to website construction issues. Okay, sounds good. Next week, we're going to see if we have the fall or the fall of Greece. And what's your bet? Any thoughts on?
I think I'd take this bet. It'll be put off another week.
What? Can you imagine?
Look at how long this has gone on. What would make us think that now is the time that something would be resolved?
All I want to get resolved is a government that I don't care what side right now. I'm just saying. Do you think we'll have a government in Greece on Monday?
That's anybody's possible.
How do they even do this with a straight face and think that anybody's going to provide? I don't even want to talk about it. It's just too disturbing. It really is disturbing. We live in more than strange times. We live in times
to have a sense of humor.
So that's what it is. That is what it is. Okay. Well, until next week, I look forward to finding out what the action is. And everybody should go over to DH Unplugged. Check it out. Follow us on Twitter at Andrew Horowitz and at The Real Dvorak.
Yeah, The Real Dvorak. Yeah, I could use a few more followers. Okay. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I'm trying to get – I have 5,900. Mm. You got like 20 – I have a lot of your followers, but I'm trying to get up to 6,000. So if we can push me there, I'd appreciate it.
Huh. I know I have 82,000. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tweet to go follow me, and then I'll get a few.
You know, it's become very un... It used to be able to do that. Now you say to do something, and everyone says, whatever. Nobody does anything anymore. I've been tracking how, you know, when you put links, I always have my links run through some sort of a counter. And it's like when I first started doing it, I had like 10,000 followers. I was actually one of the most followed before all the celebrities came aboard. And when you told, you said, you should go check this out, and you gave them a link, and if you tracked it, out of 10,000, 3,000 people would check it out. You got that? Now I've got almost 85,000. And if I say, could you go check this out? Maybe 800, 900 at the most.
Yeah, it's overdone. It's welcome. The whole deal, it's been watered down.
It's exactly like Croc shoes when you spotted the short when it was at $80.
Twitter is done.
But, you know, there's nothing to short. Anyway, okay, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Ciao.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.